2 and 3 teach us that humans are made in God's image. Adam and Eve existed in union with God at the time. They were at home with themselves, enjoyed communion with one another, and lived in harmony with the world around them. When Adam and Eve, however, chose to eat of that wrong tree, that image was cracked in those four self-same directions: God alienation, self-shame, other blame, and Eden expulsion. The rest of the Bible, so from Genesis chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 22, is about those cracked image bearers, you and I, being restored, actually, to personal union with God, free from shame, placed in communion with others, the church, and offered to the world as a fragrant offering. This is the big gospel. And we, followers of Jesus Christ, are its caretakers. We are, as I said a couple of Sundays ago, actually, entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel. We are, as the Apostle Paul said, ambassadors of Christ. And as his ambassadors, Jesus taught us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, didn't he? We are the body of Christ, literally, for heaven's sake. We are also the temple of God, according to the Apostle Paul. We are God's presence in this world. I love how Philip Yancey put this, and this is the second quote I'd like to share with you from Philip Yancey. Christians are not mere wayfarers en route to the next life, but rather pioneer settlers of God's kingdom in advance, a sign of what will follow. So, in the spirit of celebrating 20 years, but also wondering what's next, Father, our question to consider this morning is simply this: how then might we continue to absorb and to share the gospel by word and deed as a church? And the short answer is by living at peace along these four fault lines. So, firstly, live at peace with God. The gospel isn't just about personal salvation and eternal life. I'm sure you've registered that already, but that's a really good place to start. In fact, I can't imagine living at peace with myself, my neighbor, and creation if I didn't begin with living at peace with the one who created me. It's too disconnected to be able to connect to the other pieces. I think we can tend to think about the gospel as the way we got saved, right? As this isolated historical peace, as opposed to the way it saves us every day. And I don't mean to say that we need to ask God to save us every day. Oh, would you save me again? I know that was effective yesterday, but I need it for Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Not like that, right? We don't. The scripture is really clear. Christ died once for all sin for all mankind once. Covers it all. So we say that prayer once. Would you cover me? I believe you did. I mean to say that we need to consistently remind ourselves that we are saved. As John Piper says, pretty decent preacher of his own right, you never outgrow the need to preach the gospel to yourself. So here's some good preaching material, all right? Three verses just to get this warmed up for you, to enter into and remind ourselves, I'm okay with God because I believe these things to be true. First one, Jesus said it, I give them, that is my sheep, disciples, you and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And I love this statement here. For someone who's ever doubting, oh, am I going to be saved? Am I locked and loaded for eternity? Am I going to be okay? Jesus says this, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Just try. Won't happen. Paul said, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. As I've said a couple times recently, God did not make us to judge us. He made us to enjoy us. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we may live together with him. Not apart from him, but in union with the God who made us and loves us. And Peter said, through faith, we, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So, our faith in Christ, did you get it? Shields us for salvation and life with him. No one can snatch us out of his hand. Like, preach it to yourself. And find Bible verses that consistently remind you that you live at peace with God. Because you do, through Christ Jesus. Okay. How might we continue to absorb and share the gospel by word and deed as a church? Point two, and we'll be much quicker through these last ones, because we've got to go celebrate Easter with family and friends, all right? Live at peace with yourself. Live at peace with God, but live at peace with yourself. Remember, we're talking about the fault lines out of the fall. Choose to believe what God thinks of you. Let God's esteem for you be the basis of your self-esteem. Choose to believe that you are worth saving, protecting, and keeping. As I've just mentioned, using the verses from Jesus, Paul, and Peter. And then, be charitable to yourself. We fail. We sin. We miss the mark. This is our lot in life. This is what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. God's kingdom is not yet perfected on this earth, even though it is latent in his people. So let's not be okay with our sin let's not be okay with our sin, but let's not also beat ourselves up about it. If God can forgive us, why can't we forgive ourselves, right? Why would our standard be any higher than his? Third, after we've said live at peace with God, live at peace with yourself, live at peace with others. And so while we're at it, why not be as charitable with others as we ought to be with ourselves? Why not see others as God sees them? As cracked image bearers, emphasis on image bearers, not cracked. Emphasis on the noun, not the adjective. Worthy of saving, protecting, and keeping. See others and treat others as equals. I had this really weird experience this week, actually. I was standing in line at an omelet bar, if you can believe it, for a breakfast buffet. The omelet chef was being playful with the person in line ahead of me, but that person was missing the punchlines and eventually explained that English was not her first language. So overhearing this, I asked her what her first language was. I was actually trying to deflect this really awkward moment. I guessed at Spanish. I said, is it Spanish? I needed to guess a little further east, as in Middle East, she explained. And then I said, whereabouts in the Middle East are you from? Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. And then she said to me, what was the first one you said? I said, Iran? Iran. She corrected me. Then turned to her daughter, I presumed, who had just stopped in to check in on Mom. What was weird, actually, then was my default sort of internal response to her remark. If you can believe your pastor said these things to himself, they were things like this, maybe you can identify, maybe you can't. And maybe this is where I'm a little too real for all of us, but I said this to myself. Did you just correct me? Like, I can't believe you just corrected me. Seriously? I was just trying to help. I wasn't looking for a lesson on pronunciation of Middle Eastern country names. I'm from Chilliwack. Want to try that one out? That's what I was saying to myself, right? Mercifully, filter of the Holy Spirit, active. Don't you think we all have this sort of kind of judgmental track running almost all the time, though, like a sub-program on a computer? But to live at peace means we need to take those kinds of judgmental thoughts captive and make them obedient to the way of Jesus Christ, to treat others as equals and, as was my case, even to maybe learn something, even if it is just how to pronounce Iran correctly. She turned back to me. So you're from Iran. I was very careful to apply the lesson. I live in Vancouver now, she replied. Then she spoke a language that we all understand all too well. It's beautiful, but it's very expensive. So treating her like an equal in that moment made a friend out of a stranger. Right? Point four, and the last, live at peace with God. Live at peace with ourselves. Live at peace with others. This is the gospel. This is the big gospel we're talking about. Live at peace with the world around you. And then why don't we extend our charity, our kind and concerned and favorable disposition to the world around us, to creation itself? Someone pointed out that what God declared good in Genesis chapter 1, he never declared not good from Genesis chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 22. Indeed, it might not make much sense otherwise for God to redeem this good earth if it was so bad. And rest assured, this good earth, like us, will be redeemed one day. The Apostle Paul said so. He compares our waiting for the day of our bodily resurrection and redemption to creation waiting for that same day to be completely renovated. Heaven's not there. It's coming our way. And it'll look like a renewed earth. Paul uses phrases like, creation waits in eager expectation. It will be liberated from its bondage to decay. It has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. A big gospel incorporates creation care into its word and deed. A big gospel is absorbed and shared along all of these fault lines. Being restored to God, having a healthy sense of self, belonging to and contributing to a faith community, and caring for and enjoying the playground world that is around us. A big gospel lives in the complete work of Christ, but it shares it respectfully. A big gospel includes the life of Jesus as well as his resurrection. Paul preached Christ crucified. But the crucified Christ that Paul preached was what? It was an empty cross Christ, such as the one I have here that a friend made for me this week. And Paul preached an empty grave Christ. And so when we say he is risen, we would say he is risen indeed. This gospel, this big gospel, including the resurrection, incorporates us into the life of Jesus Christ, into his death with us, for us, and instead of us, into the resurrection that gives us new life, and into the Pentecostal Spirit who empowers us to live together. As the Apostle Paul said, for what I received, what I was told, how I was trained, what was communicated to me from God himself, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here is that first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That third day is Easter Day. That third day is what we celebrate today. So this is the gospel. A couple weeks ago, Debbie Visser, are you here, Debbie? Is she here? No. Debbie said, I found these cleaning up. They are gospel tracts from 1962. And this one is the gospel, but it is not all the gospel that we have talked about today. Humpty Dumpty. I could have done three pigs, but I've chosen Humpty Dumpty for you just to end our time with a story. That is the story of the gospel. Did you ever break an egg? Do you think you could put it back together? Do you think a king could, with a lovely, iconic picture of a king? There are some things, like dishes and eggs, that cannot be fixed if they get broken. We may cry or work or wish real hard, but it won't be fixed. Long ago, the first man and woman lived in a beautiful garden. They were always happy. But they made a mistake, just like Humpty Dumpty. God told them not to eat of the fruit of the tree, but they did. That was called falling into sin. Adam and Eve passed this sinful nature onto their children, and it has been passed on ever since. Everybody is born sinful. So you were like a broken egg as soon as you were born. We would call them cracked image bearers. Even if you had never done anything wrong yourself, you were still broken to begin with. Now there's only one way to fix a broken egg, and it's not an omelet, just so you know. All the king's horses can't do it. All the money in the world can't do it. Only a miracle can do it. In the same way, there's only one way to get rid of our sins. All the kings can't do it. $1 million can't buy a clean heart. You could try or work all your life and not do it. Only Jesus can do it. He can work the miracle. He can do anything. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He died to save us from our sins. He loves boys and girls and wants them to love him too. Will you let him fix your broken heart? Let's pray.